Good morning. It's time for the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm.
Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
Good morning. My name is Dave Kabikian.
And good morning. I'm Jane Marie Schaefer.
Hi, Jane Marie. Jane Marie and I are two of the attorneys from the Herzog Law Firm, and we're here. We are literally here every single weekend, Jane Marie.
We are.
It's just you and I.
Yes.
We're here every weekend talking about estate planning and Medicaid planning, long-term care, these conversations that are so important that many people just don't want to have, wills, trusts, and so on. It's a call-in show, and you can call us at 518-476-5900. And, of course, you can see us in our offices, which are currently in Albany, Clifton Park, Saratoga Springs, and Kingston.
That's right.
I say currently, Jane Marie, because who knows?
Who knows? That's right.
The universe is expanding. You never know.
Yeah. Well, all right.
I am going to Florida next weekend.
So you are?
We could have a satellite office.
Yeah. Where in Florida are you going?
Fort Lauderdale.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very nice. What a nice area. How long are you going for?
Oh, just a long weekend. Quick long trip down and back.
Spring break.
If you want to take more time off out of the office, Jamie, go ahead. We're all for it. All of us. That's great. So are you going with the kids or just with your husband?
Everyone. We need to see family that we haven't seen in a while. So
okay.
Yeah, Michael's dad just had a surgery, so we're going to check on him. And
very cool.
Yep, checking on his grandmother.
His grandmother?
Yes. His grandmother is, oh my gosh.
His grandmother?
She's in her 90s. I don't remember exactly what.
Hold on a second. So your eldest child is how old?
23.
So you have a 23-year-old whose great-grandmother
yes.
is still with him.
Yes.
Wow.
Isn't that great?
That's amazing.
That is great.
That's from a different time. I mean, I remember I think my grandmother became a grandmother and she was barely 40.
Right.
At that time.
Wow.
Right. My great-grandmother, excuse me, became a grandmother around 40 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's like people get married at 40.
That's right.
And have their kids at 40.
Yeah.
It's so different now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, this is kind of the last of those, right?
But those even times. 93, I would have thought she must have been, close to 100, giving our 103-year-old from last week a run for her money.
That's right.
So she's doing well?
She has good days and bad days. Some days she can talk fine, and some days she just can't remember our names, but...
Yeah. That's okay. Not bad. But okay.
Yeah. I mean,
and so she's in Florida too.
She's in Florida too. She's in it's assisted living. Yeah.
You know, I was talking to a Florida attorney this week because she actually is the great niece of the 103-year-old that we were talking about. And, the family wanted me to talk to her and kind of get her up to speed because she's an attorney. And after all, all attorneys know this stuff, Jamie, right? There's no such thing as specialized attorneys or anything.
Right.
And she was saying she did know a little bit about elder law. And she was saying that it's a lot different down there in Florida than it is here. There's certain similarities. There's 5-year look backs.
Right.
But the little nuances are a little different. Every state is different.
That's right. So you have to know the differences.
I have a couple topics for you, Jane Marie.
Oh, okay.
And they are zip codes, too safe. That's the second topic, too safe. And the third is do not pass go. Mm. So what do you think you want to start the show with?
You know, I'm really intrigued by zip codes. So
okay. Well, you almost were hitting it by mentioning I didn't realize that you guys were going to Florida. And that Michael's dad is there. So, zip codes. I've lived in a handful of zip codes in my life. And they've all been in New York State. I've never really left the state for an extended period of time. I'm a Long Island guy, then the city, and then up here. Right.
Right.
You are Long Island girl.
No, Queens.
Queens. Okay.
It's different.
Yeah, Queens.
Yeah, no, we'll get a map out next time to show everyone whether Queens is on the mainland or not. But I feel like it's on an island. It's fine, Jane Marie. So you're from New York City. You're a city girl. Rough and
that's
tough.
Right.
Yeah.
Rough and tough. Yeah.
Okay. And then you went to school and then...
Then Manhattan, then Brooklyn.
And then up here.
Massachusetts.
So, within geographically this one area.
That's
so
right.
So you also haven't lived all around the country.
No. Mm-hmm.
I hope, my kids are in the general area as they grow up. I hope they're a couple hours away.
Right.
Because I want to see my grandkids and I want them to, But a lot of our clients have kids in every single zip code, all over the place.
Right.
And I find it fascinating. And there's not even like a point I want to bring up. I just want to talk about it. Mm-hmm. Because people have no idea whether they should pick the people who are close to them, proximity-wise, to be their power of attorney or to be their healthcare proxy, their executor, or if it's the person who's got the right skill set. Well, no, my son's in finance. You know, he lives in California, but you know, how do you treat that? How do you guide your clients, Jamie? Because they may have multiple kids, and two of them are local, and one of them's not, and you know, they may feel like they should name the local people, but the world is a lot smaller than it was 20 years ago as well.
Yeah, that's always a tough conversation. I think a lot of people want to name the person closest to them, but at least on the power of attorney, I go over with them how most things can be done online. You know, you don't have to be nearby. Someone could pay your bills if they lived, you know, California, Florida, Texas. That doesn't really matter.
And you could also do more than one at a time if you want, right? You could have, at least for the power of attorney, you could have two, three agents at the same time. You could select, they all have to act together, which has its drawbacks, because we literally need a signature from everybody every time. But certainly it means they're all acting together literally. Or you can say they can act independently, but they're all an agent. So if one's on vacation going to Fort Lauderdale to visit their folks, as an example, there's somebody else who can act. How about the skill set part? Because I go both ways, because I'd love a trustee who's got a good head on their shoulders and kind of knows how the world works a little bit. I don't need them to know how, like, the futures market is in Wall Street, you know.
That's
they
right.
just need to know that there are financial professionals that they may want to retain, right?
True.
I don't need them to know how to file taxes. I need them to know how to call an accountant.
That's right.
So sometimes I think the clients overstate the skill set wise. Well, I'm going to pick this person because, you know, they're so much better with money.
Right.
The power of attorney isn't managing their checkbook. They are paying your expenses for you as needed.
Right. And they don't need to know how to invest. They can hire someone or rely on someone to give them advice on how to invest. But I still find people skew kind of, if they have more than one child, one is better at finances, one is better at health decisions. It doesn't always work out perfectly,
right.
But there is sometimes a split there.
On the healthcare proxy, you can't have
You
can't have ties. It's got to be one at a time.
That's right.
Usually spouse, and then, I don't know, for some reason, it's either daughter because she's the, you know,
taking them to doctor's appointments.
Yeah, or it's definitely not the daughter because she's like too emotional about it, or she's never going to want to let me go type of thing.
Yeah, some families want it the person who's good with medical decisions, but other families say, I need someone who can make that decision for me, right? Whether to stay on life support or not. And it's the one who they feel knows what they want and would be able to do it, right? Not everyone's able to do that.
You know, I think the fact that the internet exists and you can have online access, that, you know, it's, I could overnight something to anyone at any moment, right, pretty much.
Right.
And Saturday delivery, someone's getting a package right now as we speak because it's that quick. It really makes it easier to have someone on the West Coast in particular be able to be your power of attorney as well. You know, the second part of it is, which kind of brought up the topic to begin with, was that this week we had a couple of times this happens, an existing client who is leaving New York. It's not about New York's taxes or this or that or even the weather. It's because their kid settled down elsewhere.
Right. They want to be close to family.
So their son went to, let's say, University of North Carolina and close to Harry Miller, and they decided, you know what, I'm going to stay there. My brother went to UPenn for dental school, and he met his wife there, and they ended up settling close to Philadelphia. You know, I ended up settling up here. My parents from Long Island ended up downsizing, and they're right in the middle. They're in, you know, Bergen County, New Jersey, and it's kind of a straight shot either way. But these are the things that, you know, I say to clients, gee, I really hope my kids are somewhat close, because I got a lot of friends around here. I don't want to necessarily pick up and go, but I'm going to be following those grandkids wherever they are.
That's right.
So it's interesting. So does your husband have siblings?
He has two stepsisters.
Stepsisters.
And they both live up here while in New York. So it's fun. They've been talking lately about dad, right? Mm-hmm. He doesn't have dementia, but he's getting older. He's had some physical things like knee surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't ask for help, you know? They offer to go down and be there when he has the surgery, and he's like, no, I don't need you. And
they should just go down there.
They're kind of trying to collaborate on him and how to help him.
Interesting. So is Michael, is he the point person on everything, or is there a division of power within?
It's actually a division because he's the doctor, of course, so they always ask him the medical questions, but one of the stepsisters is, able to go down more or has more time right, to deal with it. So,
back to the power of attorney and who you pick as your agent, I think I'd settle on, you name them all, and whoever's local is probably going to use it more often, but it doesn't hurt to have someone elsewhere be in the mix.
I agree. It's good to have more than one person, and not in succession where you have to then somehow prove the first person can't act.
Right. And then try not to have them have to act together, because it sounds so good. Just have them understand they got to talk to one another. If they both need to sign, it kind of defeats the purpose of the ease of using a power of attorney.
That's true.
All right, Jamer, you got two topics left. Too safe and do not pass go. What do you think?
Too safe. Sounds like a rap song.
Would you want too safe? Is that the official
selection?
Can you
really be too safe?
Too safe, yes.
That's the selection.
Yeah.
Right.
All right, Jamery. So, let's see. I did not talk to Jamery about these topics. She does not know what any of them mean. I'm going to ask her.
I can tell by the way she's looking at you.
I know, too safe.
Too safe. There's such a thing as too safe. Mm-hmm. There's such a thing as too protected.
Oh, okay.
Jamery, if I was going to ask you what fact pattern in an estate administration, I'm coming in because a relative passed away, we got to possibly probate a will. What fact within that fact pattern would make you say, oh, geez? Anything come to mind?
So, well, maybe if there is... I'm just trying to think of some ones I've had this week.
I had
one this week. Okay, I don't know if it's what you're thinking of, where the two children were named co-executors and co-trustees, and they absolutely do not get along.
Oh, no, that's a good one.
Absolutely.
Oh, that's such a good one.
And a few years ago, one of them tried to buy the property out of the trust, and the other one wouldn't agree. And I remember talking to them both. I'm like, okay, well, you can't resolve it now. We're going to have to resolve it at some point when mom passes. Okay. Mom passed. Now we're back in the room with the same issue of the valuation of the property and who's going to buy it.
Are they both, did you mention they're co?
They're co everything. Co-executors, co-trustees. And it was really tense the whole time we were in there.
You can't say stop fighting, boys.
No.
It doesn't work, does it?
It doesn't work.
No.
Yeah, and somehow the death of their mother doesn't bring them together.
I was hoping. Yeah. I was hoping.
Should, but it doesn't.
And part of the fight was husbands and the in-laws, right?
Well, Jamer, you derailed the too safe, but I like it. Because this is like a big discussion here.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about your fact pattern.
Okay.
We'll be right back with the second half of the Herzog Law Firm's Estate and Medicaid Planning Show right after this.
You've been listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm. Join us every week to learn more about protecting the assets you've worked hard for, options available for Medicaid planning, and more. With offices located in Corporate Woods in Albany, West Harrison Street in Saratoga Springs, Executive Woods in Clifton Park, and 130 North Front Street in Kingston, our attorneys are here to help you. If you'd like to schedule an appointment to speak with David, Jane Marie, or Harry, please call us during normal business hours hours Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. To contact us at our Albany office, call 518-465-7581. Our Saratoga Springs office, 518-581-8131. Our Clifton Park office at 518-952-4010. And our Kingston office at 845-338-6405. Let the Herzog Law Firm help navigate a plan that works for you and your family. Now back to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm.
Good morning. We're back. My name is Dave Kabikian.
And my name is Jane Marie Schaefer.
And in the first half of our show, we were talking about how important it is where your kids live and what impact that may have on who's going to be your power of attorney or backup and, mm-hmm. and what the right skill set is. And then I tried to throw a curveball, John, to Jane Marie. The topic was too safe, and I was going with safe deposit boxes, which we'll talk about in a couple minutes, I think.
Okay, yeah.
But she zagged, and what a great zag it was, because she was mentioning a fact pattern where equally problematic, in a totally different way, multiple executors can't stand one another.
Right.
And one wants to buy an estate property, the house. The other one says, not to you, etc.
Or not at that price.
Not at that price.
Right.
So they're both executors.
Right.
And the job of an executor is very clear. You are to follow the dispositive provisions of who gets what stuff in the will.
Right.
So probably 50-50.
It's 50-50.
Okay. Right. And then you're supposed to pay creditors that are, you know, on the up and up, and it's the real creditors, and you're supposed to marshal assets.
Right.
And essentially, you're supposed to maximize the value of the estate.
Mm-hmm.
Your job isn't to give a sweetheart deal to somebody because they're your friend when you're selling the house. Your job is get fair market value for that property. And where I see the biggest conflict, it doesn't sound like it's here, is when both kids want the house.
Mm-hmm.
Because then it's we can't cut that in half.
I think they both do.
Oh.
Or at least the one doesn't like the price the one wanted to buy of that.
So. Well, so I think easy solution, unfortunately, I say unfortunately not because I have anything against real estate brokers. They're great. Mm-hmm. I say unfortunately because the fair market is going to be the proof as to what the value is. So you throw it on the market and the highest price wins.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what you do.
But you may be costing some time.
Right.
Not the great, the best rates out there right now.
Right.
You may be, having less proceeds because there are brokers involved.
Mm-hmm. Well, the one child who wanted to buy it got an appraisal 3 years ago that the brother thought was low. So now we're here and he wants to get his own appraisal. So.
Get your own appraisal or throw that puppy on the market.
Get your own appraisal and see. He's like, well, it's 3 years later, blah, blah, blah. But there's also a fight when it's acres of land. And is it going to be kept undeveloped or can you develop it? And
Jane Marie, she's getting to this topic of it's well beyond who gets what. It's what happens with the property. That's so important.
Yes.
Because we have family farms, clients with family farms. We have clients with lake houses and really important properties that the one family member wants to see it undivided and as beautiful as it's always been. The other one says, well, wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's tough.
Yeah.
It's tough. It's kind of, they both get their appraisals. We come back in the room and we talk, right? And it's not like a fun conversation.
So if it ever got to court, which would be even more costly, I think the result still is that fair market value listed for sale and whatever, unless they both want it, and then it's who's willing to pay more, I guess.
Yeah, that is
the fair market value.
Right. But unfortunately, that takes a long time if you're going through court to do that.
Well done, Jane Marie.
Why, thank you.
So too safe that I was thinking about was a safe deposit box, because it sounds so good, right?
That's right.
I'm going to put my jewelry, I'm going to put a copy of the deed, I'm going to put some cash perhaps.
Mm.
And what triggered it is a client who's actively trying to get approved for Medicaid for his father said, he likes cash. I said, okay, what do you mean? He's like, he has cash in our homes And I said, well, does he have cash in his own home? He said, a little bit. I said, where does he live now exactly? And when is he not home?
Right.
no, he said
the cash is in the mattress.
He said he's got a lot of cash in a safe deposit box.
Oh, no.
Oh, okay.
And he said, wow. And in this case, it was interesting because the safe deposit box is in the name of his two daughters.
Oh.
Okay. Huh. So that relieved the issue I was about to bring up. But right. Most of the time, people have a safe deposit box in their own name. Mm-hmm. And even if they have their daughter on it, even if they have their spouse on it, upon a death, usually what's supposed to, that box is supposed to be kind of sealed up.
Right.
You're not supposed to just have access. Even if, John, your name's on the box with me, if you go into that bank and they know I died, you can't just access that safe deposit box, even though your name's on it.
It's not that easy, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the reason why is because if my will said I give, you know, my gold bullion or whatever I have in my safe deposit box to Jane Marie, they don't want you to be able to go in there and take it because it's just an item of personal property.
I'd be after you. Yeah.
Yeah. And so do you remember what the procedure is, Jamie? I didn't do a deep dive on it to get real technical, but if there's a safe deposit box out there, we have to go through surrogates court to get that open, and we need a witness to the inventorying of it. And it might just be papers. You know, people put a copy of the deed in.
Right.
Yeah, well, the county's got a copy of your deed. I can get a certified copy of your deed tomorrow.
Right.
Right. I don't need the safe deposit box. But they put papers or the unknown. So there's a safe deposit box. We're not sure what's in there. Mm-hmm. It ends up being nothing.
A lot of the time it is because people used to put important papers in there.
Mm-hmm. But the procedure is so complicated and overdone because there is a chance that there was an item of personal property that you know, it's... Possession is whatever, 9/10 of the law, whatever they say.
Right. You need to do a special court proceeding to be allowed to open the box. And then you have to go in with the bank officer and inventory everything that's in there. So you can't just take out that gold bullion or cash, right? You have to list it all.
I just wanted to say gold bullion. I don't have any.
Right.
I wish I did.
But if you have 4 or 5 kids, right, you don't want the person who opens the box to take all the cash.
Yeah, what box? Yeah, there's nothing in there. So... You know, the practical point, sometimes we say to clients, I mean, I don't think it's legal advice, we just say, if it was me, I think I'd probably go in, you know, like husband and wife are on the box, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That kind of fact pattern. It's like, well, maybe don't publicize that spouse passed away and try to access some, you know, just see what's in there or take the stuff out.
Or that's true. If you still have the box, a lot of people now are saying they're going to do just a fireproof box.
Like a home safe?
A home safe.
Yeah.
Right. And I tell them, you don't really need that for papers, right? Because as you said, we can get the deed online.
Yeah.
You know, we usually keep your original will. So I can't think of much papers that you'd have to lock up.
Yeah, and putting jewelry in there, I guess some people will put jewelry in a safe deposit box. But I think more and more it's at home in some sort of lockbox. That's easy.
That's right.
You know, you want to go to the bank because you're going out next week and you want those earrings. It's probably not happening.
No, that's something that happened back in... I don't know, my mother's day. I don't know that people still do that. She had her nice jewelry in the safe deposit box.
No.
I don't understand.
I don't think so. So a couple minutes left, and shocking, we didn't have any calls this week.
Well, let's remind them of the phone.
We'll call, yes.
Yeah, 518-476-5900. And
we're happy to hear you.
If you call 5 minutes from now, it'll be to request the song, I suppose.
Well, we'll give you 5 minutes, but it'll be close, yeah.
So the third topic, guys, was do not pass go or free parking, which is, of course, a reference to Monopoly.
That's right.
I had a client, Jamie, this week. They play Monopoly. Mm-hmm. They don't, you know, literally play the game at home. They figuratively play. They have a lot of rentals. They're in the process of getting more rentals. Single family rental homes that they're renting out. Mm-hmm. And for them, they're a little younger. And the kind of planning there is when we talk about asset protection, we're normally talking about protecting from Medicaid.
Right.
For them, it's literally if you know, there's an issue with a tenant in one property, I don't want all the other properties to be at issue. You deal a lot with this.
I do a lot, yeah. So we need to do a limited liability company, an LLC. That's the best way to protect a rental property from your other assets.
Yeah.
You need to isolate it and protect it.
And... you know, the question was, how many properties do we put in each LLC? You know, because if you put them all in one LLC, well, that you didn't really solve it because if there's an issue in one, they could attack the other assets in that LLC.
Yeah, ideally you would have a separate LLC for each property and a little dig on New York State for a moment.
Yeah.
It would be relatively cheap to do that except for the publication requirement.
Yes.
When you form an LLC, you need to publish a notice in two newspapers for 6 weeks.
Yeah, daily and weekly,
right?
Something like that.
So it gets a little bit expensive. So sometimes people don't want to do a separate LLC for each property.
Jeremy, we should have started the show begging for calls because right. We have a couple here, and it starts with Diana in Albany. Good morning, Diana. How are you?
Okay, fine. I didn't have a question. I wanted to assure you that being on the radio is very helpful to us, even though we don't have questions.
Oh, thank you, Diana.
That's nice
to
hear.
So I just wanted you to know that.
Oh, we appreciate that.
So I hope you stay on the air.
Oh, yes, of course. Yes. Oh, yeah. No, we know a lot of people get good information out of it. We love the callers because we just want to make sure that we're really answering the what's going on out there with people. And so if someone doesn't have a safe deposit box, we still want them to get value out of the show. But thanks so much for that call, Diana.
Okay. Thank you. Have a good day.
You too.
You too.
Let's see if Joe from Albany is just as nice as Diana from Albany.
Hello.
Hey, Joe. How's it going?
Okay. I got a Medicaid question.
Sure.
I was wondering if there... You mentioned a couple of weeks ago that there's an exemption in Medicaid that you can separate, that you don't have to... $18,000 or something like that. Is that possible? I mean...
Well, so I'm not sure what you're referring to. I know that Jamie had mentioned a couple of weeks ago that the exemption level went up from about 16,000 and change to about 30,000 and change. So that means that you could have that kind of money in the bank, CDs, savings, bonds, whatever, and still qualify for the program. Is that
that's what I want to find out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, what I would recommend, Joe, is if you wanted to call the office to come in and meet with Jamie or myself or Harry and go through, you know, your fact pattern and the exemptions, how they apply to you, I think that would be a pretty good idea.
Right. Thank you very much.
Thanks for the call.
Bye.
Two calls just like that.
It's nice to know people are listening, right?
Yeah, and Diana. Yeah. What a sweetheart Diana is.
Yeah.
Thank you, Diana.
That was very nice. Yeah. And even Joe, he remembers things from a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. Good job, Joe.
Good job, right?
Real quick on this LLC thing that you mentioned. So if we do have clients who have multiple properties, and we don't want all of the assets to be impacted if there's an issue with one of them.
Right.
So an LLC is a great idea. Some people have a property casualty insurance as well as a umbrella policy that can handle certain things. I actually got a insurance specialist on the phone with the client right there in the consult. And he was great. Went walking through a bunch of options. We might actually want to have him join us one Saturday to talk about a couple of these things.
Yeah.
Because the asset protection in our world most of the time is protecting assets in case you have that long-term care need. And for this client, a little younger, asset protection means something totally different.
That's right. A potential lawsuit, which is...
You don't want that, no.
I don't want that.
I mean, I don't know if it's a good sign or a bad sign, but they're in the process of getting 2-3 additional single-family properties. So maybe that means that things are turning for the better around here. In terms of real
estate?
Yeah.
Maybe things are loosening up a little bit.
Yeah.
Which would be good for Dan.
Well, Dan the real estate man, of course.
Dan the man, right?
Yeah, that's the guy. Tall Dan.
So, John, there isn't really snow flurries about, are there?
It's the National Weather Service says somewhere in Albany, I don't know if it's the airport or where the National Weather Service is in Albany, it says snow shower. I
feel like they could be more specific
than
somewhere in Albany.
No, yeah, I know. It says Albany, New York. You figure it out.
Wasn't outside the radio station.
Well, if there is an alleged snow shower, it shall be the last one of this year.
Oh, yeah.
Have a good weekend, everyone.
Have a good weekend.
Thank you for listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm. For more information on their services, please visit herzoglaw.com. If you'd like to speak with one of their attorneys, please contact the Albany office at 518-465-7581, the Saratoga office at 518-581-8131, or their Kingston office at 845-338-6405.